Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here are your hosts of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Holsinger, Dr. Payray, and Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Millennial Dentist Podcast. Super stoked to get off the ground and running at Voices of Dentistry. Got in last night, had some fun, and we've already had a couple good speakers. And now we're getting into really what it's here for, and that's the recording. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here.
Dude, heck yeah. Okay, introduce yourselves. Tell me what you're about.
My name is Michael. I am the developer, founder, whatever you want to say, of Ground Marketing. And yeah, that's what I do. I teach dentists and their staff how to ground market.
I love it. I don't do a lot of ground marketing, but I should be.
Yeah.
Ground marketing's intimidating.
Yeah,
I think
that's
that's the battle for a lot of us.
It could be.
It's intimidating.
Here's the thing. If you've seen the last, because I have a YouTube series, and on there, in the episode, I talk about it. I'm like, I'm even scared right now, like to go in here into this LA Fitness and just talk to them. But you got to do it.
Joshua, yourself.
Yeah, man. Joshua Scott, owner of Studio 88 Dental Marketing Company. So yeah, good friends with Michael. So.
And we met today.
Yep.
I'm envious of you have a cool, stylish office.
Thank you.
Which I think is cool.
I know. When I saw his stuff,
I just want like a boardroom. That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw his stuff. I was like, oh man, I want to work for him.
All right. So let's jump into this. Obviously, I'm sure this is going to go in a marketing route. That's what we do here.
It can go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, you know, Michael, I'm going to start with you because we've talked and we've been buds for a while now. And really kind of piggybacking off that conversation we just kind of initially started there, you know, ultimately one of the hard parts about marketing and is the shift we're moving into is definitely more of, it seems like, a storytelling marketing where people want to relate to you, they want to know you. And so when you look at your practice and how you build that and acquire new patients, all that stuff, it's a little more personal than it's used to be. And so part of that I feel like is scary because it's intimidating to either get behind a camera, get out in front of somebody, put yourself out there, tell your story, et cetera. So talk to me a little bit about, one, how you got into this and then really kind of where the ground marketing thing started.
Dude, so, that's a long story.
I know.
2 hours.
Here we go. Time.
I'm just kidding. Basically, I used to be a nutritionist, right? And I had a client who was a dental consultant. And at the time, I'm like, what the heck is a dental consultant? Like, right? So then he's like, we were talking about his cortisol levels and he was talking about how he's always stressed. And then we were like, okay, what are you stressed about? And he's like, well, right now I have a current practice. It was multiple practices at the time. And he's like, and I need to really find new patients for them. And at the time, I used to work for a company called MyFit Foods. And I would help them kind of like build up their clients, their patient base, because they have to come in there, go to the nutritionist. And the only way we knew was we would go to businesses, drop off like the free food and tickets. And that's quote unquote ground marketing, right? That's what we would do. And so I told him like, why don't you just do that? And he's like, how about this? I'll pay you $1,000 if you can get me like, you know, between 2 to 5 new patients within this week. And I was like, or up to 5 patients this week. And I was like, yeah. So then I like literally took out all my vacation days, which was only like three to five at the time. And then, I decided to do it. And the first day, it took me forever to get new patients. I just got one and that person's still a new patient for there. But I told myself like, this works, but I just got to figure out a strategy, duplicate it, right? And all that stuff. So yeah, I decided to quit my job as a nutritionist and do that for the dentist. And then honestly, other dentists in that community started figuring out what I was doing. They're like, hey, we'll pay you an extra $500 if you work for us. We'll pay
you.
So
were you, at that time, were you going out on behalf of like the dentists and literally like straight up knocking on doors and meeting people and saying, hey, let me tell you about this dentist,
yeah, et cetera? So like, that's what I noticed. Like, for example, you can go in and then say like, hey, here's us. We're down the street. Here's a gift basket. I hope you come visit us. Here's some sign.
Right.
That doesn't work, right? Yeah. You have to go in there with an intention like, hey, you know, can I have some of your guys' business cards? And they're going to be like, yeah, okay. Do you have an appointment with us? What is this for? It's like, oh, no, I'm the dentist down the street.
Yeah.
I wanted to see if I can have some of your information for my patients. They're going to be like, oh, my gosh, yes, thank you so much. Because that's hope.
Brilliant.
That's hope. You're giving them hope.
What a nugget.
Yeah. And then when they give you the information, nobody's ever going to say, like, no, when you ask them, can I give you some of my information too? They're not going to say, no, just take mine. They're going to be like, yeah, sure, come bring us some of your information.
100%.
And you come back, give them a sign-up sheet, and that then have the employees to sign up. And he puts out his business cards on the Brilliant. On the table. You got it. But that's just like one small strategy, right? But it's more the point that the dentist or the doctor was like, we have no money to spend.
Sure.
So go out there and get new patients somehow.
Why is it that we, and Josh, I'll leave you in here too, because I want to kind of get your, you know, obviously, I think, and from what I know about you, it's a little more, you have a much more kind of the 10,000 foot view. To the whole philosophy. Why is it that dentists don't start with something as easy as going next door to the business in their community and doing that? Because like you said, it doesn't cost a lot, yet we'll be so quick to sign up with X, Y, and Z marketing company for, you know, a significant chunk of change when we're not even doing that.
Yeah. No, I think it's interesting because I love what Michael does. It's I mean, I call it hustle marketing. I'm like,
yeah, no, I actually like that term. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you just like, I mean, Michael R is like the original hustler marketing.
Because that's frankly what it is. It's straight up hustling. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, he's like the OG when it comes to hustle marketing in dentistry. But you know what I think it is? Is like marketing by definition, by nature, like it needs this energy behind it or it doesn't go anywhere, right? So, in the early days when you have a startup, you don't have a lot of money. So like all you got is like your grit, your grind, your hustle, go out there, make it happen. Like you got to put some energy behind it to get some motion, right? But what happens is clinically, then you start getting busy because now new patients are coming in. You start getting booked up. This is where I see ground marketing fall off is all of a sudden the dentist doesn't have the time and it stops. But then what they almost do is trade that energy for money. And now I'm going to spend $1,000 on Google.
It's a very valid point.
Right? So that money becomes that energy, that capital that drives the marketing. So
do you see that says have Michael that like, that the majority of ground marketing is very successful in, you know, the start, because obviously you do a lot with the startup world, you know, versus with more established practice. Because obviously that's ultimately, I feel like, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the biggest new patient referral sources is internal marketing. It's internal referral. So part of it is just building your base. And if you don't have a base, you got to get out there.
Yeah. So what happens a lot is at the startup world, yeah, the dentists do it themselves because they're really tight, right? Like with money. But then after that,
or acquisitions, maybe.
Yeah.
Like you're a young doctor, because that happens a ton. New doctor goes into community. I'm thinking of Joe right now, he's in our mastermind, and he bought this practice. Poor guy hadn't even changed the name of the practice because he's trying to figure out how to transition it. And it's Davy Crockett Dentistry. And so his name's Joe.
Is that serious or you just
made that up? That's serious. That's his guy's name. Davy Crockett Dentistry.
You're just throwing that in there.
And Joe's listening. He's like, oh,
Joe, but it's hilarious because it's like poor Joe is, you know, he's doing everything he can to maintain that patient base and transition it because they don't know him. But and what a brilliant idea to get out there and
yeah. But that's the thing, like the dentist can do it, right? But what I recommend is eventually like Josh said, the dentist is going to get busy. They have to do what they do best, right? Produce.
Yeah, their time is more valuable.
Yeah. So honestly, you can either have your front office part-time doing the ground marketing or just hire a specific person to do ground marketing. And their only job is to get new patients, right? So if they're not getting new patients, you know they're not doing their job. So basically, that would be it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's a failure on the dentist part because they look at it like it's their time.
Yeah, but it's not their time,
I think ground, man, I'm like ground marketing, the return on that. Like, why wouldn't, like referrals, ground marketing, why would you not do those things? Yeah. Sometimes that trade off to go, okay, well, now let's get $1,000 Google ad spend every month because we have to make that up. That could just take some energy.
So let's talk about that because I think to me, it's pretty obvious, right? I don't know, but to me, I feel like the biggest thing is, okay, why? Because it makes total sense. Why am I spending thousands of dollars on SEO, but I don't want to go next door and meet the people? I think a big part of it is it's awkward, you know, and it's hard for us. We are, you know, a lot of dentists are introverts. You know, they've been stuck most of their life in a book. They don't have many very good communication skills, and so it's easier for us to cut a check, you know, to Google to hopefully build and bring in people than it is to go out there. And it was the same reason, you know, think about you probably see this a lot with website. How hard is it to get dentists to do videos? Yeah. Like to get in front of a camera and just talk about stuff. Yeah. That's so valuable, but it's probably, I mean, especially with, you know, the older you get with dentists, it's a battle because it's internally struggling. So my question to you, Michael, would be, how do you, are there steps that we can take, or are there things we can do to get better at that? Or is that just part of the, you gotta feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's definitely steps. You're always going to feel uncomfortable. I mean, you know, out of your comfort zone, you grow, right? Like, that's just plain and simple. But like I said, if the dentist doesn't want to do it, they have to have someone on their team who's bubbly, outgoing, go-getter, right? Treat their business like their business. They have to have someone like that. And then that's the person you want to delegate the ground marketing to. All of it, honestly, has to do with scripts, the way you say things and how you go into these things, right? You can't just walk in there and, like I said, like, hey, here's a gift basket. I hope you guys give me a car. Like, hey, I heard you guys are doing like an event. Can I be a part of it? No, there's you're never going to get anywhere like that, right? Every other dentist is doing that.
So it's more about building relationship or a mutual benefit type thing.
My thing is, if you're going to go in there, you have to come out with a result, whether it's name and number, a day you're going to set up a presentation or an event, a lunch and learn for the employees, something, or actual people on the schedule. You have to, all the time, every time you go. You can't just be in there and say, yeah, we dropped this off. It went good. That's it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know what I mean?
That's 100%.
That doesn't pay anything.
You gotta close them.
Yeah, you right. have to close. Like, selling is different than closing. That's the thing that's people need to understand.
Coffee is for closers.
Yeah, okay. Yes, yeah. Like, closing is actually when, for example, when you're presenting treatment, right?
Yeah.
You can tell them, oh, you need this to, right? This is the problem.
Sure.
This is what happens if it gets worse. This is what it's going to do if we find the solution. Then you're going to have to say, how do you want to pay for that, right? Like,
yeah.
Do you want to? But that's the hard part.
Action,
how uncomfortable there. Is that though, right? That's like where you're like, oh, you got to speak to our treatment coordinator. They're the ones who are going to tell you the price. It's so uncomfortable. We've decided to let that go to somebody else, right? That's okay. That's okay. But you got to learn how to close. And so basically that's what kind of ground marketing is. And we teach that all the time, right?
Do you, gosh, that, and I don't want to skip over that aspect of things because you know, you said something super valuable there, and that's ultimately growth doesn't happen unless you're uncomfortable. And so there's a part of trying to get out of our comfort zone to get to that point where we really establish true growth. Give me some examples of just what's one classic example in your community, your new dentist, you come in this community, you're trying to build a patient base and keep the established base. What's an example of a, you know, going to a business? Kind of walk me through a scenario, if you don't mind.
So like, what's a business in your...
Let's see. I got a couple banks. I got, there's the Y very close. There is.
Okay. So out of banks bigger. And banks and the Y, which one would you want to go to? Let's just go with the Y, right? So like the Y is like a gym area, right? It's like a whole facility thing. Super easy. Every YMCA has either a member appreciation day, a health fair, a children's thing, right? So you just literally, you don't even have to walk in there. You can just call them and then say, hi, you know what? I was wondering if I can speak to the director. And then they're going to say like, oh, okay, you know, do you have an appointment or what is this for? And then say, oh no, you know what? I was actually wondering something. Maybe you can help me out. Because the receptionist always wants to feel important too. They don't want to just feel like a receptionist. So then say, yeah, let me see what I can do. Then you're going to say, yeah, I was wondering, I'm the dental office, like right down the street from you guys, like literally a couple blocks away. And I wanted to see if we can ever go in there and just give all your members a couple freebies, like toothbrushes, toothpaste, floss, talk to them about oral health and things like that. Could that be possible? Right. But did you like hear the tone of voice? It's not like, oh, could we ever go there and give you guys free stuff? Right. No. Then they're going to say like, yeah, let me pass you to the director. Let me see who you need to talk to, whatever. Right. Then boom. Yeah. The director's going to say, yeah, we do one every month at the end of the year, or we do one every month at the end of the every month. Right. But you do it, right? And they're going to be like, yeah, sure. Okay, awesome, cool. And then just say, yeah, we can set up a booth and then just do that. But the thing is like, it goes further than that. It goes further than just setting up a booth and then that's it, right? You need to learn how to talk to the people to get them to sign up on the spot. Go in there, get the employees to sign up too before the event. All these things. Because if you're like thinking, holy crap, I have empty slots this week. I need to fill that up. And the event is at the end of the month. Doesn't make a lot of sense. So you need to learn how to, okay, well, they said yes, I already built that rapport, I'm going to go at the end of the month, but let me go in there and just talk to the employees. Just you're like, hey, I'm Michael, you know what? Me and Sully wanted to do something special just for the employees here, and we wanted to give you guys, boom, an incentive, right? Free whining, whatever you want to do, a free office tour, and then just put your name and number down, and I can come back. When's a good day to come back to pick up the sign-up sheet? And they're going to say, oh, come back Monday, right? That's when everybody's already been here. Cool, okay, cool. And then you'll get leads to sign up. You'll have a sign-up sheet working for you right there. But none of that costs any money. Right?
Just uncomfortableness.
Yeah. I think, you know, the whole like Google AdWords thing, I think at the end of the day, like that's easier, right? Like you can systematize that.
100%.
Money comes out of your account, pays for ads, they go. At the same time, it's like, you know, what Michael's talking about is dentistry is human. It's human service. And so like, where's that part of it in there? And so it can be really easy in dentistry to make everything a system, but and some things have to, but then you're like, where's that layer of like empathy? Where's that layer of trust? Where's that layer of relationship?
Well, and I imagine the ROI on that is so much higher than AdWords or whatever. And, and if you don't have that on the back end, then all your AdWords are going to go to nothing.
Yeah.
So kind of walk, give me a little bit of, tell us more about what you do specifically. Obviously, we know Michael's does all the ground marketing stuff, whatnot. What is the kind of your approach to helping grow and market practices?
Yeah, man, when we got into this, I mean, we you know, our approach, we're very, our job is to get to know our clients, tell their story in a way that's exclusive to them. And so when I kind of came into this, it was that whole perspective of I looked out, realized that for me, dentistry has always been this like innovative, inspiring, kind of beautiful profession. But yet the marketing message that's out there and the websites that are out there has not portrayed that for the most part.
No, yeah,
I mean, I think we could all probably sit here and be, you know, and say on the whole, dental websites have sucked.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, so my job was my just kind of passion was I wanted to change that. I didn't feel like that's right. I feel like honestly, a lot of dental marketing companies have done it a disservice by what we've put out there. And so, you know, man, I think there's that, you just said, it's like, what's the ROI of good custom photography of humans serving humans? You know, what's the ROI of portraying empathy through your website? You know, so we can talk cost of like photography and you know, and all that, but it's like, man, that's dentistry. That's, yeah. So, you know, that's what we do, man. We help clients tell their story in a way that connects. Website should be an experience. It should be connecting. It should build trust, all those things.
Well, and at the end of the day, you can have, and there's people go there to do things. I mean, people want to do, the more they can do online, the more they can, unfortunately, the less they can interact with humans. I mean, they want that. And so, I mean, I had a lady yesterday, or 2 days ago, or so, I don't know when it was, it's all running together now. She came in, she's going to be a $40,000 case, all bunch of implant stuff and whatnot. And her, we can ask her, like, okay, obviously we don't know, how did you find us or whatever. And, you know, the first thing she said, I looked up dentists, and then I saw you had good reviews, and reviews is always one that points to what? The website. And then once I got your website, I read every single word on your website. And it's like, that's crazy. And by the time she already, before she even got in our office, she had already accepted that she wanted to work with us. Like, that's what's so cool is that we have the opportunity to sell ourselves before they even walk in the door. And a lot of people aren't doing that, you know? So if they get to you, then you're having to sell them there, where it's like, she's already been touched by the reviews. So she's already felt, you know, a relationship there where she's starting to feel connected to us. She gets to our website, she sees videos, she, you know, she reads our bios and, you know, the story and all that, even more connections. So by the time she makes the commitment to call and come in, and if we can close on that end with, you know, it being an experience and them and, you know, being friendly and empathetic and all the things we talked about, the case acceptance is so much easier because it all starts back at the beginning, right? And that's where I think we sometimes drop the boat is we want to, I love to look a lot of times and my buddy T-Bone's really the one who kind of showed me this, but a lot of times we track end goals. So we track the, like the lagging measure, right? Like the one that's on the end and we'll say, okay, well, how many new patients did I get this month? And really what we should be tracking is, okay, how many patients did I get to my website this month? Because ultimately, you know, the more I get at the top of the funnel, the more I'm going to get out of the funnel at the bottom, right? And so it's interesting how that dynamic plays and really trying to build that fundamental base, because to me, we can sell ourselves so much quicker at the top, and so that our case acceptance is even better just by you know, building that, having that online presence and that website.
Yeah, man, I think sometimes it can get very short-sighted and we're just looking at that new patient metric part of that entire funnel. And I think what you said is right. You have to take into consideration the amount of people are coming to your website because that's branding, it's name recognition. They may not be ready right then, but that's exposure that's going to make them ready later on. And I totally agree with you. If you can start the relationship right, then the trust at the bottom when you have to present treatment, oh my gosh, it makes all the difference. But if all you're doing is running Google AdWords to convert patients to get them in the door and they see a website that doesn't really connect with them, doesn't build trust.
Yeah, they haven't had those touches yet.
They just have a need, they got to get in. And then you're like wondering why they disconnect on something that's...
Why couldn't I close them today?
Yeah.
Y'all probably know the study better than I do, but there was like a study on my Mercedes back in the day or whatever, and it showed that like every person that ended up buying a Mercedes had, I think it was like 8 or 9 touches of marketing essentially
before they
made the commitment to buy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what they found that like statistically, that's the way it works. When people make a purchase, they need so many relationships or touches of whatever that company is before they're willing to make the purchase. And ultimately what we're talking about is we have the opportunity with our website or our community presence or whatever it is to start making those touches that by the time they come, because I imagine 10 years ago, patients didn't buy on the first visit as much because you didn't have a website and, you know, or they'd only, you know, they heard something about you from a friend, but like they had to kind of think about things. We're seeing more and more patients who are ready to buy the day they come in because I think the real thing is they've had all these touches from other either friends, marketing, our website, et cetera, so that people are coming to the table more willing to buy.
And they're being educated online too.
Right, exactly,
yeah.
That's true. That's smart, yeah. I never thought about that.
Anywho, food for thought. It's my
two cents. What do you think about dentists, or what do you think about people who are like, okay, a website is like, it should just be there?
Well, I think that's
like
crazy.
Your website.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Well, I'm huge into video and I'm huge into telling our story. So like when you pull up on our website, like smack dab in the middle of the thing, it's like this massive video, like super high production that basically it's fun. It's upbeat. I think it shows our personality, the office. It shows what we do. And TennesseeDentist.com.
It's, to me, I feel like it's kind of like that. Like, it's your practice online.
Like, and I think personality is so important.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's your brand, right? It's your brand. That's all. And that's the thing I think people, we all kind of have to, like, wrap our head around nowadays. Like, it's, a brand is so different. Let me paint you a picture. For example, like, if you were to, say you're going to get engaged, right? Say you're going to get engaged.
I think I spelled Tennessee wrong.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know.
Classic.
Yeah.
TENNESSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSSS that's something Dad wasn't willing to give up yet.
Gotcha.
You don't love it? I like it. It's kind of nice.
It's fine. I just don't think it really shares anything. It's obviously not very big on the mobile, but
yeah. Oh, awesome. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But it,
is your hair still in there or no?
No, unfortunately, it's short hair video. There is videos on there that's long hair. But so when we made our video, I wanted to show three things. And this is why I said I wanted to show the personality of our office. I want to show it I want to show off our technology, and I want to show off our ability to be a one-stop shop. Those are the three things that I want. Like if you said, okay, what makes your practice different and unique to people? We have more fun in our practice than most offices. We have better technology than most offices. And we're able to do more in-house than most offices. Those are the three things that I wanted to sell on. And so I think that's conveyed pretty well in the video, because to me, that's, I think, what more people are wanting is they want to go to an office where it's fun. They want to go to an office where it's up to date and it's, you know, they're using the latest and greatest. And then they want to go somewhere where they don't have to get shipped around. You know, have to go four or five different dentists. I think that's the model. I think it's going to be one of the really successful models moving forward is a practice that can handle more dentistry in-house.
On your reviews, what is it? Like your rating?
Like Google?
Yeah.
Like 5 stars?
All 5?
We have like 180. We could get more, but relative to our people, it's great.
But I mean, but like I'm talking 5. About like, do you have any bad ones?
No. I don't. We maybe like 1 4-star.
What was the reason why?
They're always, I feel like, about money or communication, right?
Communication?
Well, I feel like they're always something that's a lack of communication. Like something, somewhere communication was dropped, whether it was money, insurance, being late, you know, whatever. I feel like everything always kind of goes back to poor communication. Or it's like, gosh, they weren't wrong, we weren't wrong, just we
didn't
communicate well.
Did you ever win that person back or no? Or you don't know who it is?
Dude, I'm kind of bad. I fire a lot of patients.
Oh, really?
I fire a lot of patients.
That's good.
That's
how you build your patient, your ideal patients.
Why is it? This is like a little bit of my soapbox right
now.
No,
here I can see all of a sudden the emotion.
Here's what I understand. We will buy, dentists will take out multiple $1 million in debt. They will own this practice and they will let everyone else around them control it. They will let their team control it. They'll let their patients control it. Ooh, and half of them are miserable coming to work every day because they won't freaking make the decisions that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, why the heck am I going to deal with the patients that make our lives miserable? Like, there's always, we always have patients, and every office has this, that like you see them on the schedule at morning huddle and you're just like, shit.
Yeah. You're like, oh.
And I'm like, why? It's just, why am I seeing them? If they're gonna be assholes to my front office, yeah, they're gonna be rude to the girls in front. Hey, Gina. Then why are we putting up with it? And so that was a big, and what's so cool is you start firing patients. You don't have to be rude about it. You can just be like, hey, I just don't think we're a good fit, or you know, we're.
But what do they say? Are they like, oh, how
some
dare
people,
you?
Some people are. They're like, whatever. And I'm just like, it's okay. But you know what it does? It builds unbelievable loyalty in your team.
Oh yeah,
and
when the team sees
you from them like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just say, like, frankly, we don't really appreciate the way you talk to Christine up front. You know, she's just doing the best she can, and you know, and we're you know, that's like our financial person. And but look, you know, we're just kind of at a point where, you know, we'll see you for emergency stuff for the next, you know, if you have any problems come up. But you know, we'd encourage you to find another dentist at this point. And or a lot of patients do on their own because they're patients who are going to be, they don't want to take x-rays, or they don't want to get whatever it is you're wanting to do. And I'll just say, look, that's fine, but unfortunately we're not going to see you if you're not going to be, you know, willing to kind of do things the way we
do. How do you think that can work for like a startup or something? Because at that point, people are like, I just want anybody, right?
Yeah. But what I'll tell you is ultimately it's the long play. It hurts more in the moment, but it makes you get to what you want quicker.
Yeah, with building a business, you're always trading like time and money.
That's
so,
a great analysis.
Right. Right. So when you're a startup, the money matters more.
Yeah.
Like 100%. You're like, I will.
So you're in survival mode, essentially.
Yeah. Like I'll put up with this appointment taking longer and pulling my hair out because I just literally need the money. Like
right.
Saturday, I'll come in, you know,
Dude,
it.
I would have done any, like if you came in with a root canal, I would have done, when I was freaking starting out, I would have done what I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, yeah, I need this baby tooth extracted. Like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like if it was dentistry,
right,
I was going to, and it took me 5 hours. I didn't care because I had all the time in the world and no money.
But now, so you slowly start trading that and you make these little adjustments to where you're like, you know what? The time to deal with this person is just not worth the money coming in. And so, yeah, I think that's the trade-off.
You're right. And to answer your question, unfortunately, there's no way to convince the startup person that it's worth doing earlier. But what you see is the further you get, the more you're like, gosh, I wish I'd done that sooner. You know, like that's just a hard thing to get because someone can tell you something all the time, every time, and you know it's right. But there's sometimes you have to get there on your own.
Yeah, guys, we're literally dealing with a client right now. We don't have very many like unhappy clients, but I've got one right now I'm dealing with. I've had 4 phone calls in the last 2 weeks with him. Dude has no problem speaking his mind to me, you know, and the reason I got involved is I was like, hey, you can't talk to our project manager like this. So let me get on the phone and talk to you. But so we did a short run of Google AdWords last year for like 3 months, just to experiment where that would get us. We landed him, from this ad campaign. He negotiated me on everything. And at the time, it was just during a period where I'm like, yeah, you know what, man, we just need the business.
Yeah,
like,
we're kind
of good.
Yeah.
Like it's X amount of dollars, whatever. But it was, we did it for less on kind of all fronts. Allowed him to kind of circumvent our process in a few ways. And now I'm literally here going like, I mean, we're this close to launching the site. And I'm just like, dear God, we got to launch this so that I can just go like, thank you. You know, take the site, go do what you want with it. But it's like that always happens. And you think you learn it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do. But it's just that trade-off of...
It is time and money.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to say no, right?
You do.
Yeah.
The more you say no to stuff, the more you're going to be able to say yes. That's what we were talking about earlier.
We were talking about that. And it's the same thing with new. I mean, new patient spots are valuable. And even if you're a startup, you know, I have a buddy who's starting, he's basically a glorified startup. And I told him, I said, sometimes it's worth you doing things that you don't think you should do just because you're in the moment, you got to build value and you got to do things and you take more time to do things. Just because it's where you are in life, and the more flexibility you get, which is typically because of financial, then the more you can do that. But putting up with people that make my life miserable, it's like bringing my dog to work. I was like, people are like, do people not get pissed that like you bring your dog to work? And I'm like, if there's 5% of people that don't let me bring my dog to work, like they can find another dentist. There's plenty. I mean, because ultimately, and I don't mean this selfishly. But ultimately, it's about me because I'm the one who, again, we're the ones that put up the financial commitment to be here. We're the ones that if it doesn't work, the patients don't get care, the team members don't get paid. And so at some point, it has to be about me being happy, because if I'm happy, the trickle-down effect is everyone's happy.
I can tell you've been speaking to T-Bone a lot.
I know, right? That's T-Bone. Speaking of the devil.
Is he here?
Rolled in.
Right. But no, you're right, yeah. And I think, here's the thing, what do you think about the people who, or the dentists who, like, let's just say they're getting 100 new patients a month, and then they're like, we need more.
Oh, well, so that's
is it because they don't have, they're not saying no, or what?
That's my other pet peeve, though. The problem, one of the big problems I think, too, is that we, and this is part of the whole social media digital age, is that we see how everybody else is doing things, and it looks like that's what we should be doing, and they're being successful doing that, and no one steps back to say, what do I want? What are my goals? What am I trying to develop? Because I get I have so many pet peeves, I guess, but a big one is that you get on Facebook, someone asks a question, I wanted to grow my practice, and you get 30 different responses, and no one knows what the kind of practice they have, how they're running it, you know, and then the people giving you advice, you don't know if they're profitable, if they're not profitable, if they run an HMO practice, if they're a fee-for-service practice. Like, imagine me trying to give Drew, a fee-for-service doctor, advice. Like, I'm a PPO practice. So, like, that doesn't, just because it works for me doesn't mean it's going to work for him. And dentistry is kind of unique in that, because we still have so much autonomy that you can have a lot of different things. So, like, one thing that pisses me off all the time is the whole new patient thing. We need way less new patients than we think. We don't do the dentistry that the patients need. I mean, the majority of these dentists do fillings and crowns, you know, and they're not doing all the dentistry that the patients desire to want to do. I mean, a lot of people want straight teeth, but a lot of general dentists don't offer some sort of short-term ortho. A lot of patients want missing teeth, but dentists will complain about not having new patients, yet they won't go learn to place implants. So my bigger pet peeve is look, when you're a startup, you do need bodies.
Yeah. But at the beginning,
I would argue that more often than not, it's less about needing bodies and more about you're just not utilizing the bodies you have to the fullest.
Yeah. That's my pet peeve too. When people are like, oh yeah, I have 120 new patients monthly, but I need more, Michael. And I'm like, I can't help you, man.
You're exactly right.
And it's like, it's one doctor.
Yeah, it's just one. I'm like, you're
how do you even see that many?
You're the problem.
In my mind, I'm like, you're stuck somewhere with the back door, like the retention, something somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not my
fault. It's not,
and it's not a 10-year game. That's like a 3-month game. That's like a 90-day game. And my deal is like, dude, when you're building a business, this isn't like 90 days. This isn't a year. It's not even 3 years. Like, this is the next 10 years. This is legacy type stuff. So, you know, keeping them in the practice, for me, I'm like, in the short term, it might feel like we're not getting enough, but man, 10 years, if you can keep them in the practice and serve them, you have all the dentistry you want to do.
But that happens. That happens so much though. That happens so much where people are like in the Facebook groups.
Yes. Well, that's what
they, and then like 30 coaches and consultants are like, well, you need to do this.
I want Facebook to have when you comment, you have a bio. That has like, I want it to have like your credentials, your, like if you're a doctor, it's got to have your, like the last year's profits, like production, collection, insurance. That's what I want. I want, because it's like, and people do this with equipment on like what shit to buy. You know, they do it, but they don't want everything. And it's like, okay, like just because it works for you, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. Hey, so question for you. So I know you practice with your dad.
Yes.
Okay. So marketing conversations. Always go well? Does he have a high marketing value? Was that, because you see that sometimes with the generational thing and you come in and you want to market and this image and the father's kind of like, ugh.
What I always tell people is,
he's like, oh God.
Hands in the face on the table.
I was very fortunate because dad was way more willing to listen than most. And you see these kind of relationships or just generational relationships, they're either really successful or really bad. Because I'll say this, if you can put the wisdom and experience of another generation who's been doing it for 20, 30 years, and you can work well with a younger generation like myself, who's more equipped to technology, today's marketing, new ideas, new energy, if you can work together, it's unstoppable. I mean, that's literally, if you want to know the biggest key to my success in my career, it's that right there. it's those two working together, because I can't get where I want to go without that kind of experience. And he can't really get where we want to go without utilizing, you know, the new ideas.
Yeah.
So that kind of circumvented your question a little bit to go back to, so how did he respond? Well, good and bad. And part of it is you got to get small victories. And what I mean by that is, like, I didn't start out saying, let's, you know, totally revamp our website and do all this stuff. And, you know, it was, okay, let's try to increase our reviews. And I want to use this company, and we're going to do it this way, and it's not that expensive. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll try that. You know, and then it starts working. So then you get a little more leash, right? You do something else, and then it starts working. And so the key is to start to get small victories with the other doctor who's, you know, older or more senior or whatever, so that each victory you're getting more trust, more leash. And I think at the end of the day, they like the idea of being more hands off and just being able to come to work, do dentistry, and not have to do a lot of that. But you got to kind of earn that. And so I think one of the things we did well was we didn't try to build Rome in a day. And we kind of had baby steps that showed some success, which got some more success. And it just kind of trickled to where at now I could come up, I could say, we're going to buy a hot air balloon and we're going to fly it around Nashville.
A blimp.
And it's going to be great marketing.
He's
going to be like, sweet.
Yeah.
Because we've kind of established you've made some decisions and you've done some things and you've done enough research that proven it's worked. I'm willing to give you, even though I don't see it, I'm willing to give you more, leash.
Well, I know. I mean, he's from that generation where, and had that experience where marketing was literally illegal.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
and super frowned upon.
Yeah. So he's probably coming off of that with a stigma of that, like, well, this was illegal. And then the guys who originally started marketing weren't good dentists, you know, so then that was all abused.
It was just a bad stigma.
Right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, he probably knows he needs to understand it, but doesn't. And it's this kind of weird, like, fearful thing of like, you know, I don't know how to get into this and need somebody he can trust step by step.
Right.
To just kind of walk him through it.
No, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
And I don't envy that part of your job.
Yeah.
Because I imagine,
it's so generational right now. I mean, I'm literally like, want to be like, when I pick up a phone, like, okay, so how old are you? Okay, that's how I'm going to
tell. Well, it does.
You know, because it does. We're in this, like, that's what people don't get is like these evolutions of marketing. In 76, it was made legal. Like, you could start marketing in dentistry. So then you had all these, like, yellow page guys come through, the scammy kind of, you know, dentists. And so they, you know, they'd say, you know, he's in the yellow pages, meaning, like, he's not a good clinician. He has to advertise. And then right after that was the whole direct mail, like, boom of the 90s. And so that was when the first big dental marketing companies actually came around, because they were in direct mail, right? But now it's like we're in this whole digital revolution. Everybody's coming out. It's just so accepted, you know. But it's interesting. I see these big dental marketing companies that were in direct mail, like, trying to, like, pivot into digital.
You gotta adapt.
Yeah. But it's interesting because people ask me, like, why is there still so much direct mail in dentistry? I'm like, it's because the big companies, like, that's when dentistry got its start.
Yeah.
Like,
that's how they grew their companies.
Yeah. It was like the first big marketing boom was around direct mail.
Well, and you have to adapt. I was just talking over here with somebody and she was telling me her husband's in the paper business, and the CEO of their company over the past couple of years made a move to buy a adult diaper business, because they make the same stuff that goes in the fluff of these adult diapers.
Okay.
And what's been interesting,
makes sense.
Even though the last 2 years paper has continued to decrease, their company has continued to be more profitable each year because they're adapting, you know, because they're shifting. And it's interesting because you always have to be, I loved that because I was like, gosh, that's such an example of you always have to be in the moment, but you also have to be thinking about, okay, how am I continuing to evolve and adapt? Because as soon as you get comfortable, whether it's either in your practice, whether it's with your marketing, with whatever it is, as soon as you kind of get like, oh, we've got it figured out, that's when something else starts changing and you need to be apt to.
That's why Dunder Mifflin was bought out by Sabre. Yeah.
You're exactly right. Yeah. That's a fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, this has been fun.
Thanks, man.
A lot of good stuff here.
No, man. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Tell me, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you. You know, website, contact info, whatever it is that you people have.
Okay. Yeah, you can find me on thedentalmarketer.org.
And the podcast.
Oh, yeah, the podcast, The Dental Marketer. You can listen to all the stuff there with dentists. Sully's been on it.
And look, I'll say this. If you're not, if you are a young dentist trying to get your name out there, you really should consider doing some of your either online courses or your workshops, because to me, I think not only is ground marketing good for getting it going, but I think really what I love about ground marketing, or I do kind of like hustle marketing now.
I'm going to take that now.
I'm rebranding your whole thing. Michael, it's a different direction.
What I think it does, though, is I think it builds really, really good fundamentals in learning that ability to hustle, because that's being able to put yourself out there, be uncomfortable. That's something that's learned. Most people don't just have that. And so if you can learn that early, then that applies, even if you're not doing tons of ground marketing later in your career, that applies to everything you're doing.
So if you guys are interested, you can just go on, look at the course, go on the website and just click on programs, and we also do a workshop, like I said, and that's where we teach your employees how to be the ground marketers. And so yeah, basically that's it. That's where you can find me.
And fun fact, you got a cool new website getting ready to come out here pretty soon.
Yeah, I do.
Check it out.
Studio 88.
No, it's going to be awesome. I agree with you, man. I think if you're a startup, there's no better money spent than talking to this guy right here. I think he's amazing at what he does and can help you. What was the question?
What do you do? How do you? We know what you do. How do people get in touch with you? Tell them your contact info and just if people want to reach out.
Yeah, best place, man. I kind of revolve around Instagram. So at Joshua Scott on Instagram, hit me up there, message me. You can easily find links over to Studio 88, to my website, joshuascott.com. Check out the 88 Show. That's my podcast.
I didn't know you had a podcast.
Oh man,
gosh,
yeah.
I've been living.
It's like a video podcast. This is like so high up there.
It's video. It's on
iTunes.
Okay,
I guess I did know that. I have seen that.
Yeah, we've got the iTunes version that kicks out. But yeah, we just filmed episode 103 this week. So nice. Yeah, kicking along. I know it's not as many as you, but I stopped trying to keep up with you a long time ago.
I slowed down a bit, yeah.
Beautiful. Gentlemen, this was fun. Everybody work smarter, not harder. We'll be back soon.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.